Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house one more time. Thank you for how you have brought us through, how you have made a way where there was no way. We thank you, Lord God, for just being so good. We come today asking you to feed us with the word of your Spirit. Oh God, we're asking you to do something for someone. In the name of Jesus, someone lost a loved one this week, Father. We're asking that you comfort them, Lord. Give them strength in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, somebody is sick in our midst today. And we ask that you would heal them by your power, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you know what we have need of. Come by here and see about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. I want you to turn now with me to the Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 27. The book of Acts, chapter 27. Hallelujah. And we are going to consider for our reading verses 21 through 26. You have that, say amen. It reads like this: But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Can we say amen to God's word? I'd like to use for a topic today that I trust will be a blessing to you. If the storm couldn't kill me. If the storm couldn't kill me. I was born in the South, but I was raised in the North here in Detroit. But like many children, when I was growing up, you would often return back to the South to visit with grandma and granddad. And I enjoyed my summers there because, to me, you could really be a child. Seemed like you could play all day long. As a matter of fact, you weren't allowed to stay in the house. They would tell you, go outside and play. And I think it's important. I think a child needs to explore and have an opportunity to be inquisitive in a safe environment, because today it seems like they're pushed to grow up too fast. And they have things now at their disposal that at a moment's notice seems like it can snatch their innocence away. But the Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. And I just think that one of the greatest things a parent can do for their child is to introduce them to Jesus. But I remember loving growing up in the South because, to me, you could also be close to nature. I remember vividly seeing the stars at night. They seemed like they were right on top of my head, and I could hear the crickets chirping, and I loved to play with grasshoppers and worms and all the stuff little boys would do. But one of the other things I learned was the power and presence of God through the storm. I don't know about you, but when the rain and the storm came in our house, things turned into a big production. You hear stuff like, sit down, boy. Be still. Be quiet. Oh, okay. Go take a nap. What is the problem? Well, the storm is coming. I'm telling you something. You learn how to respect the storm. You became keenly aware that the storm came from God and only He could control it. Recently in our news, we've heard about several large hurricanes that have brought enormous devastation and destruction. Hurricanes Harvey and Irma and Maria and now Nate. One right behind the other, fierce and unpredictable in its violence, coming with the power of a Category 4 and 5. Storm winds blowing faster than cars, upwards of 180 miles an hour. Now with the damage estimates of $200 billion and more. But I want you to understand that the stormy winds belong to God and are at His disposal. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalms 148 and verse 8, it says, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy winds fulfilling His word. This tells us that God has a way of making us recognize that with all of our technological superiority, with all of our artificial intelligence and our autonomous vehicles and our drones and our nuclear weapons, man has not found a way to harness the storm. But we are not absolved from experiencing storms in our lives. Live a little while and you will have some storms come up in your life. Sometimes these storms are life-altering. Sometimes you can't even see the storm coming. Other times you can see it coming and you try to get away, but it seems like it just overtakes you. But I'm glad that the God we serve won't allow the storm to kill us. It's amazing because after the storm and damages have been done, they send in what's called a recovery team. They send in what's called a recovery team to help clean up and restore things back to the way that they used to be. And the recovery team is called FEMA. FEMA stands for Federal Emergency Management Agency. Have you ever been through some things and seemed like you needed a recovery team to come in and help clean up your mess? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I believe that God has provided something better than FEMA. And by the way, it was good to see the former presidents the other day coming together to help with all of the hurricanes. But God has given us something better than FEMA. I like to call it HEMA. Now, HEMA stands for Heavenly Emergency Management by Angels. Psalms 91 and 11 says, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God will dispatch His heavenly angel, agency of angels, to repair and fix up the mess after your storm. Or I wish I had a praying church up in here. Glory to God. But all storms are not bad. Sometimes God will allow storms in our lives to fulfill His purpose. To illustrate this point, I'm told in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, it is there where we find Jesus goes into a desert place and thousands of the people follow Him by foot. And we see that the Bible says He is moved with compassion. He is moved with compassion towards the people. And I like that word compassion because it means love mixed with pity. And I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life where I just didn't need love, but I needed some love mixed with pity. Oh, I needed God's compassion. Glory be to God. And the Bible says that he had compassion on them, and he healed those that were sick. And when he got done, he said to the disciples, he said, okay, now we've finished. And the disciples said, well, Lord, why don't you just send them away? And Jesus said, no, you're just not going to send them away like that. Let's go ahead and feed them. And they said, Lord, we don't have anything to feed them with. You see all of these people around here? They said, well, what do you have? He said, well, they said, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Glory to God. The Bible says that he said, bring me the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And the Bible tells me that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and broke it. Now, I want you to understand that sometimes God has a way of breaking us before he blesses us. Oh, yeah, yeah. There have been some times where he had to break you down and build you back up. Now, it's interesting to me that right after this, Jesus tells his disciples to get into a ship and go over to the other side, and he would meet them there. So the disciples get in the ship and start on their way. But something unexpected was about to happen that they were not prepared for. You know, typically we can handle what we are prepared for. But it's the things that catch us off guard that's hard to handle. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice as children of God, as favored of God, if we could get a spiritual meteorological forecast every time something unexpected was about to happen? I know I would like that. I know I would like that. Amen. I think if we could just go to the television and click the remote, and there would be Gabriel or one of the angels who could give us a spiritual weather report. Seriously, I could see them at the news desk, and they would turn to the weathercaster, and they would say, "Now we will hear from the angel called Angel in advance to give us our weekly Walk with Christ forecast." And then the angel would take his position and say, "Hi, I am Angel in Advance, and God has sent me to give you your weekly Walk with Christ forecast." Well, by Tuesday, I see dark cumulus clouds of confusion and heavy humidity coming your way, because there are people on your job or at your school who won't like you because you refuse to get involved in gossip and putting people down. But since you follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, and you are maturing in Christ, and they now understand that there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper, I see cloudy days clearing up in your direction. By Thursday, I notice slight precipitation of stress and worry. Why stress and worry? Because you've made some mistakes, and now guilt and heaviness of spirit is getting the best of you. But remember to just lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you and run this race with patience. And by Saturday, temperatures now turn bitterly, bitterly cold. I see a northwest by north wind coming your way. This will get tricky now. The cold weather will get tricky for you because it's going to seem like God hasn't heard your prayers. The cold weather has a way of making it seem seem like God is not going to come through for you. The cold weather has a way of making it seem like your circumstance will not change. But I see a wind, a southwest by southwest wind blowing your way, because the word of God tells me that God is not a man that he should lie. Nor is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Brighter days are on the way. Can you give God a hand praise here today? Well, this has been Angel in Advance with your weekly Walk with Christ forecast. Solomon's Temple Saints, back to you. Notice now the sequence of what happens. Jesus sends them to the other side, but he stays behind, greets the people, and sends them away. Then he goes up to a mountain and prays. No sooner had the disciples got in the ship to go to the other side than a horrible storm flares up in their midst, with a category 5 blowing against them to the point that they couldn't even move the ship. Have you ever felt that way? God visits you with a word, gives you a dream or a vision, puts something in your spirit, a spirit of expectation, then all hell breaks loose. Sometimes when we are on our way to do what God has told us to do, the winds of life will blow against us to stop us from getting where God would have us to go. The Bible says that while the disciples were rowing and toiling, trying their best to get to the other side, Jesus could actually see them from the mountain. I want you to know that God sees your toiling. I want you to know that God sees you trying hard. I want you to know that God sees you working the best you can. But the Bible says to be not weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Jesus sees them from the mountain, and he gets up and said, "Don't worry, boys, I'm on my way." Praise God. How many know that God is a very present help in the time of trouble? Glory to God. He came to their rescue, but he did not come on a boat or a ship. But he is not like us. We need transportation to get from point A to point B. But Jesus came walking on the liquid floors of the waters. Glory to God. No man had ever walked before on water. But here comes Jesus. Imagine this sight. Jesus walking on the water unobstructed. Praise God. Amen. But the disciples couldn't move. And the Bible says that he was walking so well until he was about to pass them. And they thought it was a scene from Halloween, because the Bible says they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, no, this ain't no ghost. It's me, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whenever Jesus is near, you don't have to be afraid of your storm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peter now, he wanted to make sure, because it was hard to see because the rain and the wind was blowing so hard. So he had the nerve to say, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come." Praise God. And Jesus, because he had all power, because he was all authority. Amen. When you got real authority, you don't have to do a whole lot of talking. Praise God. So Jesus just told Peter, "Come." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peter started walking by faith on God's word. That's the key. When you walk by faith, you got to walk by faith on his word. Glory to God. All you need is faith in God's word. And Peter was doing good, but he got distracted by the things that he saw. And the Bible says that he began to sink. But the thing I like about Peter is that when he started to sink, he still knew how to call on God. Hallelujah. So he said, "Lord, save me." Hallelujah. If you feel like you're about to sink, if you feel like you weak and can't hardly make it, all you got to do is say, "Lord, save me." Hallelujah. Because the God we serve is a deliverer. The God we serve is a way maker. The God we serve knows how to save to the utmost. Glory be to God. And so the Bible says that Jesus saved Peter. And it says that the disciples after this were amazed at what they had seen. And they, praise God, they got down then and worshiped him. The Bible says that they got down and they took a knee. Lord have mercy. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? I said they got down and they took a knee. And they said, you got to be the Son of God. Hallelujah to God. I wish somebody would understand that every now and then you got to take a knee to Jesus. Glory to God. All across the sports world, players are taking a knee in protest to injustice. But we have to continue to take a knee against the one who starts the injustice called the devil. When you get down on your knees, you got to learn how to say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. Oh God, I'm taking a knee in the name of Jesus. Loose my child. I'm taking a knee in the name of Jesus. I feel healing in my body. You got to take a knee, because if you don't learn down here how to take a knee, you so gonna learn up there. Because the Bible tells me that when it come to that day, every knee is gonna have to, every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess what? That Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm taking my knee right now. Hallelujah. I know who I praise. I know who I worship. I'm taking a knee and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm taking a knee and I'm saying, Lord, I worship you. Anybody in here gonna know how to take a knee? Hey, glory to God. Here in our text today is the account of the end of one of the greatest ministry ever displayed. It is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul comes on the scene not as one of the original disciples or one of the original apostles, but he comes on the scene as a persecutor of the church. He is what is called a spiritual thug, hauling off saints to jail and even killing Christians in the name of God. But God arrested him on his way to Damascus, and he got saved. You think you big and bad, but your arms are too short to box with God. Hallelujah. Paul was called to greatness, but his calling demanded that he suffer greatly. I know it's not popular nowadays to say this, but many times we won't get what God has for us until we have suffered. That's why 1 Peter 5 and 10 says it like this: but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. I want you to know, some of you have been suffering for a long time. Some of you have been suffering for a while. Well, that's a good sign, because the Bible says that suffering is just for a season. That's why he says after a while. And a while is only a season. So if you've been suffering for a while, that's a good thing, because your time is almost up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The contradiction here is that this great saint now is a prisoner in chains, and he must be taken by ship to go to trial before Caesar in Rome and find out whether he will live or die. There were no airplanes. There were no trains during these days. And so the quickest way to travel was by ship. Instead of an easy voyage, Paul and others on the ship end up in a storm. Praise God. Chapter 27 of Acts, amen, tells us that this storm, amen, was not an easy voyage. But I want to close by giving you six principles that you can use during your storm. I want to close by giving you 6 principles that you can use during your storm. Are you ready? Amen. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Amen. Actually, it starts in verse 10. Before they set sail and got into the storm, Paul warned them and said, if we leave now, we could lose the ship, our cargo, and even our lives. But they did not listen to Paul. They did not listen. They listened to the wrong people. Some problems can be avoided if you get good advice. We could save ourselves a lot of headache, a lot of lost time, a lot of money, if we would listen to good advice. Let me also insert this. Some people are manipulators of the dominant narrative. What do you mean, Elder? I said, some people are manipulators of the dominant narrative. These are folks that like to control what people hear and say about you. They have a way of giving a false report that tries to create doubt about your character and true motive. They try to break down your self-esteem. You got some folks that instead of leading, they out tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to control the dominant narrative. Proverbs 15 and 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Listen to good advice and be blessed. Let's give God a hand praise for number one. Glory to God. Number two, ask God for a word. Acts 27, 22 through 27. Paul was a prisoner on the ship. The great apostle Paul was a prisoner on the ship. But he became the focal point of the voyage because he had a word from God. Every second of your suffering for Christ that you have, every minute of hardship in the Lord you experience, has the ability to someday cause you to become the man or woman of the hour. Sometimes you don't need any kind of word. You need a prophetic word. You need God to foretell what is going to happen to get you through your storm. So Paul now gets up and declares a word from God. He says, an angel of the Lord stood by me last night, of whose I am. And I like that part, of whose I am. Do you know whose you are? Glory to God. You were bought with a price. Glory to God. You were bought with the precious blood of God's own son. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not cheap. Hey, glory to God. I came with a lot of suffering. Hallelujah. I came with the price of God's only son. Hallelujah. I ain't cheap. Glory to God. Amen. Now here's the prophetic word. Everybody on the ship is going to make it, but the ship itself is going to be destroyed. You know God can keep you alive even though your ship is falling apart. Hallelujah. But you can make it through if you have a word. The reason why you're still holding on is because somebody got a word on the inside. Hallelujah. Somebody got something that's keeping them alive. A promise, a word that says if you hold out, victory is on its way. Hallelujah. Number three. Amen. Acts 27, verse 33 through 34. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. How many know your health is important? Amen. Things had gotten so bad on the ship that they hadn't eaten in days. So Paul, after he gave a word, says, let's eat something because you're going to need your strength to make it through the storm. We have to remember to eat right, to get proper rest, to rest your mind. And I really like to say, rest your mind, because some of us just talking so crazy, we don't even know what we're saying. What? We're not even making no sense no more, because we're tired. Eyes all dilated, because you've been up all night looking at your cell phone. Somebody keep texting you, sending you messages. Sometimes we do too much. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're doing too much, neighbor. Slow down, you're doing too much. I see folks driving, especially the women on the large expressway, driving, and then they got the mirror down, they doing all of this. I said, Jesus, you gonna hit somebody, lady? Doing too much. Unclutter your life and make sure God is in what you're doing. Because if there's no healthy balance, you're probably out of balance. Learn how to say no. You got to learn how to take care of you before you can be a blessing to somebody else. Number four. Acts 27, verse 35 through 36. Give God thanks in your storm. The scripture tells us in all things do what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. After Paul suggested that they eat something, the Bible says that he took some bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. Now remember when we had the scripture earlier, what did Jesus do? He took the bread and he what? Broke it. Praise God. And he began to eat. So he blessed the food and everyone else ate. And the Bible says, then they were all of good cheer, all 276 people on that ship. Now, that's a large ship. But they were happy after they ate, even though they were in the storm. I wish we just had a few folks in here today that would just give God a thank you, Jesus, even in their storm. Hey, glory. You got to learn how to praise him even in your storm. Number five, Acts 27 and 38. Get rid of what you don't need. Get rid of what you don't need. The Bible says there that they begin to lighten the ship in order to make it to shore. So they had to throw away the wheat. Now, the wheat cargo was worth a lot of money, but they had to save their lives. You got to learn how to get rid of dead weight that will drag you down. That's why the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin. Because there are some things that are weights, and they're wearing you down. Glory to God. We have to make choices whether we will follow the world or whether we're going to follow Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, it's going to come a time where you're going to have to sacrifice some things to get to your shore. But when your life is at stake, nothing else really matters. And sometimes storms help us to evaluate what's really important in life. Because the scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Get rid of people, get rid of things, get rid of places that will hinder your progress in God. Number six, verses 43 and 44. God will take your broken pieces and bless you. Hallelujah. These final verses help us to understand that in the end, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It really doesn't matter how much fame you've attained. What matters is that you reach your heavenly shore. The latter part of verse 43 lets us know that the situation had gotten very bleak. It was a time where it was literally every man and woman for himself. There's going to come a time in your life where you've got to make a decision to save yourself from this untoward and wicked generation. You're going to have to make up in your mind that I'm going to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that will save you, is the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says that the ship was now falling apart. Amen. But they could see the shore just a little ways away. And in the process of getting to the shore, the Bible says that they hit a rock. And the ship was lodged inside of the rock and they could not move. And slowly but surely the ship start falling apart. There's going to come some times in your life where you're going to hit some rocks and seem like you can't move, can't go nowhere. Glory to God. But you got to remember, so long as I have a word, I'm going to get to the shore one way or another. Glory be to God. So they sent out a notification and they told everybody on the ship, now we're stuck and the ship is about to go down. But I need those who know how to swim to get down in the water and go ahead and swim to the shore. I want you to know that we got some children of God who God has equipped, who God has made strong in the Lord. And along the way, they've learned how to swim. Yeah, hallelujah. And they can see their shore, but can't nobody help them. You got to swim for yourself. Glory be to God. Do I have some swimmers in the house? Glory to God. Swimmers are those who know how to bear the infirmities of the weak. Swimmers are those who know how to pick your brother and your sister that's falling down, know how to pick them up. Ah, we need some swimmers in the house. Everybody can't get mad because so-and-so didn't speak to them today. Everybody can't get mad because the pastor didn't say hello today. Some of us got to say, so long as I got a relationship with God, I believe I'll be all right. So long as I got a relationship with Jesus, I bring my own praise to church. I bring my own praise to the party. And I don't need a choir to give me to say thank you. I don't need a praise team to get me to lift my hands. I got a praise on the inside of my heart. Yes, I do. I got a praise because I remember where God brought me from. I got a praise because I remember how he brought me up. David said, from the muck and the mire, I was stuck. I could not move. I couldn't go anywhere. But along came Jesus and said, in the name of Jesus, get out of that mess. Glory to God. Do I have some swimmers in the house? Hallelujah. Because there's no temptation taking us this which is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will make a way of escape. You got to learn how to look for your escape. You got to learn how to look for the hand of God in your storm. Because he's a faithful God. He don't just leave his child out there to fend for himself. He's always right on time. May not come when you want him, but I heard somebody say he'll be on time. Hallelujah. I wish I had three people that would give God some praise. Woo! I feel like preaching. Now, if you're one of those who cannot swim, don't worry, because God has made a way for you to make it to your shore. We got a lot of folks who are babes in Christ. We got a lot of folks who the devil is trying to get you in your early walk with Jesus, trying to discourage you, trying trying to pull you back to the world, trying to deceive you and make you think it's nothing to this Jesus stuff. Hey, God, but God has something for you. The Bible says that if they could not swim, they've held on to some planks and to broken pieces of the ship. Oh God, I don't know about you, but God knows how to take some stuff and break it to bless you. He knows how to take a broken situation and bless your life. He knows how to take your situation that's been broken to pieces and bless you. The Bible tells me that they got some planks and they got some broken pieces and they started paddling. They said, Lord, I don't know how to swim, but I thank you for my broken pieces. Yeah, Lord, I don't know how to praise him like Sister Jones, but I thank you for my broken pieces. You got to learn how to swim your way with your broken pieces. You got to learn how to paddle your way with your broken pieces. Yeah, the devil thought he had me, but I got my broken pieces. Do I have someone in this place today that can testify? I couldn't swim, but I came through broken pieces. Hey, I had tears in my eyes, but I came through broken pieces. Give God some praise. Hey, I don't know about you, but I had some broken pieces. I didn't know how I was gonna make it. I didn't know about tomorrow, but I had God who gave me a broken piece. He said, this is all you need. Hold on to it. This is all you need, because I'm with your broken piece. I wish I had just five people that could stand with me and let the world know that if the storm couldn't kill me, it must be because it was only a test. I wish I had just a few more people out in the congregation who would stand to their feet and said, if the storm couldn't kill me, it must be because God had a bigger plan for my life. Anybody know that the storm couldn't kill you? If the storm couldn't kill me, it must be because God was working in my behalf. If the storm couldn't kill me, if the storm couldn't kill you, it must be because he got some promises on your life. He got some things that he has not finished yet. Tell your neighbor, the storm couldn't kill me, because I'm about to be blessed. Whoa, hey, the storm couldn't kill you, because God, the God we serve, he knows how to bring you out. He knows how to bring you through. He knows how to tell the wind, peace be still. He knows how to show up and show out. He knows how to come through on time. Do I have a few more people that made it through the storm? Woo! Hey, hey, glory. You're gonna make it through the storm. You're gonna make it through the storm. You're gonna make it through your storm. Hallelujah. You're going to make it through your storm. Hallelujah. The Bible says every last one of them all 276 souls on that ship, they all made it to the shore. God's word is true. God's word is true. The Bible says that when they got to this island, they all got out. And right away, this indigenous people came to greet them and welcome them. And an amazing thing happened. Paul and some of the other ones start witnessing. Start talking about Jesus. Bible says that they began to gather wood for the fire. And I like that part of the scripture because the apostle Paul did not have his adjutants. He did not command them, now you all go pick up some firewood because I am the apostle Paul. The Bible says he was in the woods picking up wood too. See, when you've been through a storm, your title don't mean nothing to nobody. You got to pick up some wood like everybody else. And the Bible says that when he put his wood into the fire, out came a snake, wrapped himself around Paul's arm and bit him. And the native people got scared because they knew that once that snake bites you, it's over. It's a wrap. It's done. But Paul kept on doing what he was doing. And they were looking at him. They said, oh, he about to go down any moment now. And the Bible says that the time went on till they looked at him again and said, you must be a God. You know, God will put you in a situation so he can show forth his glory so that people that don't know him will know how great he is. Hey, you know, your storm wasn't just for you. Your storm can be for somebody else that need to know how good God is. Hallelujah. In my closing today, hallelujah. The Bible says that the head man on the island came to greet them, and they found out that his father was sick. And Paul went and prayed for his father. And the father got healed. And when the father got healed, the whole island was converted to Jesus Christ. Didn't nobody know about no Jesus. And Paul is on, he's supposed to be on his way to Rome to get his head chopped off. You know, God can keep you through your storm. Now, his purpose wasn't pretty at the end. Because most of us would have been saying, no, that ain't right. He's supposed to get blessed with $1 million. That's what they say. If you praise God, you're going to get a lot of money. But sometimes God's purpose is through what you have to suffer for his name. Because that kind of reward is immeasurable. You can't put an amount of money on that. You get a crown with that. I say you get a crown. When you give your life for Jesus, you get a crown. Some of us don't want no crown. We want it all to be rosy all the time. But I want you to know that your suffering is only for a season. Hey! If you've been in it for a while, that's a good sign. Because that means your season is about over. Touch your neighbor and say, my season is about over. I've suffered a while. Glory. I've suffered a while. I suffered a while. I done paid my dues. I done paid my stripes. I'm looking for mine. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Is there someone here today who doesn't know Jesus?